The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, every day in thousands of hospitals across the world, people undergo surgical operations which can have long-lasting effects. No matter how old you are or indeed what stage you are in life, the process of going under the knife is a big event for all involved, where any given procedure may determine your ability to go forward in your life. Indeed, your whole future may depend upon it. Global Surgery Day falls today, and it aims to highlight outcomes and benefits that surgery can have for patients, as well as the inequities in access to surgery all around the world. Now, I'm delighted to be joined by someone who went under the knife, as it were, and by someone who wields the knife. We have, first of all, Gillian Curtis, who received a heart transplant in 2019, and Dr. Aisling Kinsella, a consultant cardiothoracic surgeon in the Mater Hospital. So good morning and welcome to you both. Let's start with you, Gillian, and tell us about your journey towards a heart transplant. What happened to you?
Morning. I suppose it started back in 2004. I was in hospital just for a routine procedure when they were running some tests and they noticed that my heart was enlarged. So they were further investigating that when really quite suddenly it's the same week I was in hospital my 18-year-old brother Martin passed away of sudden adult cardiac death, and so from there I was allowed out for the funeral, and they brought me back in where I was fitted with an ICD, and I suppose after this I was diagnosed with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy at that stage, and the ICD was fitted. But I suppose after that, I continued leading a normal life, as normal as it was.
But you did loads of things. I mean, you didn't let the presence of the implanted cardiac defibrillator in your chest stop your gallop.
No. I continued working, but myself and my husband also travelled, and we did everything as normal. I suppose looking back now, when you're on the other side, looking back, I continued to deteriorate, but still continued to live as normal. Just, I suppose I was compensating a lot.
Yeah.
But it's only looking back now that you notice that.
So your heart was slowly getting weaker, and I believe your husband was planning your travels in Thailand and Germany and Spain and all that, and he was checking out places for hills so you wouldn't have to struggle up the hill. So he was a very good partner in travel.
He's amazing, yeah. He did loads of research everywhere we were going or if we were doing anything, and a lot of it quietly, even though I knew he was doing it and he knew, we never really discussed it, you know. It was just something he did, and wherever we went, we hoped to, you know, we didn't have far to walk, or we were close to the beach, or we were close to all amenities, you know.
Now you continue to deteriorate, and eventually it came to the point where something fairly dramatic had to be done.
Well, myself and my husband planned to start a family, but unfortunately that didn't happen. We had five miscarriages and a few failed IVFs when I deteriorated a little after all of that, and I was in hospital when my consultant at the time decided that he advised us to stop trying, and at this stage I was diagnosed with acute heart failure, and I had a very low cardiac output. So he at that stage he put me forward to meet the transplant team, is the way he put it. So I put it, I suppose, to the back of my mind. And that's when we took a year out, we went traveling. We lived in Spain, we did everything great, like everything was going well. And we came home at Christmas of that year and I got a phone call. We were planning to go back, but when we came home for Christmas, I got a phone call from the transplant team in the Mater with an appointment and I went. So I went to that appointment, and at that stage, I thought I was just going up for a day to meet the team when they advised me not to leave the hospital after doing a few tests. So at that stage, I was kept in.
Now, you had your transplant, and I can imagine it's very major surgery. What was it like? And with great thanks to the donor, which, you know, the generosity of people who donate their organs is phenomenal. But afterwards, it's not like easy rehab, is it?
No. Because, I suppose, first of all, I was in hospital for 5 months awaiting my transplant, but I was also connected to a VAD, which is a ventricular assist device. So my chest was opened up to put that in. And then when I received the transplant, I also had to have that removed at the same time. So, I suppose the surgeons and everybody in the hospital, you know, it's just amazing. And my donor, I wouldn't be here except for my donor. And it's just, it was life-changing.
And finally, getting back into action, what are you able to do today? I mean, literally everything?
Everything, yeah. And like, I now play sports, which I tried before, but, you know, walking was kind of even getting difficult for me. So now I play tennis. I go for long walks every day. No more planning anything. You know, we can just get up and we can go and... Yeah,
it's fantastic. Absolutely, life transforming, life enhancing, and life extending. No doubt about that. Gillian, thank you, Dr. Aisling Kinsella. You are someone, as I said, who wields the knife. What makes a young girl, initially in school, want to do this kind of work?
I think I was fascinated with everything medical from a very young age, a very accident-prone child, so a constant, frequent attender in Crumlin A&E. I was fascinated by the smell and the people and always had a very positive experience. There's no doctors in my immediate or extended family, so when I was in transition year, I did work experience with the surgeon who took out my appendix. So that was my first exposure to surgery, which I thought was just fascinating. And then I did medicine. I was on a rotation with a cardiothoracic surgeon. They had a team member who was out. They literally just needed a warm body to hold a retractor. It happened to be me. And I was completely captivated watching him operate and the heart move. And I decided this is what I have to do.
What kind of a person are you, Tom? So you're looking at this open heart surgery and you think this is fantastic.
Yes. I was like, it's this or nothing. Yes.
So it's not an easy process, though. It's a very long training course before you're allowed to embark on operations like Gillian's.
Yeah, absolutely. So I finished medicine in 2006. I did an internship, basic surgical training. I started my focus training in cardiothoracic surgery in 2011. Finished that in 2017. And I was in Toronto for 4 years getting subspecialty experience in transplantation. And then I was appointed as a MATR in 2020. So it is it's quite a lengthy process.
And now whenever you get the opportunity, because it requires... a recipient and also a donor for this whole thing to happen. How big is the team?
Well, we have a fairly extensive team because it's the medical side, our nurses, our physios, dietitian, our transplant coordinators, perfusionists, our intensivists, anaesthetists. It takes an army of people to get these recipients across the line. And obviously our transplant program doesn't exist without the donor families and without the people who've had this awful news making the decision to consider organ donation and the gift of life, and that one donor can potentially save 7 lives. So it's, you know, it's not just Gillian's life who's changed, it's all her immediate and her extended family, you know, because an amazing family made that decision.
Now, the surgery itself, how long does it take to do a heart transplant?
It takes the anaesthetic time in terms of getting the patient to sleep is probably at least an hour, sometimes an hour and a half. The procedure itself is 5 to 6 hours, and then they go back to the intensive care unit afterwards. And then we're obviously on hand, obviously, then to monitor them very closely for the first.
And it is an open heart procedure, so the person is literally, their chest is carved open, which must be one of the difficult parts of the rehab.
Yes, absolutely. So in terms of people are, you know, obviously sore afterwards, but we have a fantastic ICU team and they do their very best to get the patient's pain well controlled so they can get up and out of bed. So unfortunately, there's no rest for the wicked. So I need people up and out of bed as quickly as possible and up breathing for themselves. So we're very fortunate. We have an amazing physio team.
Now, what about the development of more sophisticated anti-rejection drugs to make life not just possible, but enjoyable?
Yeah, so they certainly have made some advances on that. And we're constantly kind of revising our protocol, you know, and guidelines with international guidelines. And the average life expectancy, you know, after a heart transplant in Ireland is over 13 years, which is longer than international data. So we have very good outcomes, similar for our lung transplant program. And we have a fantastic team who look after the patients afterwards.
Now, one of the points of Global Surgery Day is to emphasize the inequities in availability and access to surgery globally, because we are privileged here. We give out about the HSE and the hospital system and all the rest, but everyone says once you're inside, it's terrific.
No, we are very fortunate. And I know the RCSI has done a lot of work in terms of, you know, global equity for surgery and improving access and sustainability. When I was in med school, we did a rotation in Guyana. So we fundraised and went over to a clinic over there, worked in Georgetown and then in some satellite clinics. And I never forget being in the hospital and there was two patients in a single bed. Often with no sheets, there was no curtains around them. There was a HIV ward at the back. Nobody went to that. There was no soap to wash your hands. It was unbelievable. And then you come back to Ireland and, okay, our hospital food sometimes is not great, but we have, you know, amazing people and staff who will go above and beyond for their patients.
Now, what would you say to people who aspire to being doctors if they can get the points, or even medical students who've already got the points and might be thinking about surgery?
It's certainly very good to have exposure early on in your career. And I think mentorship is certainly very important. So whenever we have medical students, we try and make sure that they have a positive experience with our team, because that's what led me into cardiothoracic surgery. I had an amazing mentor in the form of Freddie Wood, who supported me, particularly as a woman going into what is a very male-dominated career. So there are fantastic mentors out there to try and do electives or placements in surgery, see what it's like as a career, what the training pathway and what the working life is at the end.
And all doctors have to get used to blood, I suppose, but you wouldn't want to be squeamish doing a job like yours.
No, but you get used to it, yeah.
All right. Well, today is Global Surgery Day, and my thanks very much to Gillian Curtis, a heart recipient, got that transplant in 2019, and to Dr. Aisling Kinsler, consultant cardiothoracic surgeon at the Mater Hospital. Thank you very much both for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Pop over to McGillicuddy Reeks. Treat Poolbeg Lighthouse like it's just around the corner. Cliffs of Moher? No bother.
Everywhere is within cycling distance with Veloci, Belgium's best-selling electric bike. Save up to €1,000 on your Veloci e-bike. Get yours now, exclusively at independentshop.ie.